Good afternoon. Thank you for being here. My thanks to Alan Chambers for making this session possible. Our location in Maya West, Puerto Rico is the official germplasm repository for Theobroma cacao. But we conduct extensive research, collaborative research with ARS locations in Bellsville, Maryland, Miami, Florida, and Hilo, Hawaii. I would like to divide my presentation into four main areas: curation, research, outreach, and hurricane relief. A little bit of background for those of you who are not familiar with germplasm repositories. Our station is one of eight national clonal repositories of the National Plant Germplasm System administered by the ARS. And as such, we are responsible for the acquisition, preservation, characterization, evaluation, and distribution of germplasm, with cacao being one of those crops. This is a view of our cacao collection. Cacao is an understory tree, but we grow the trees under full sunlight to reduce the incidence of diseases. The collection consists of over 250 accessions. It's a genetically diverse collection. It's characterized, or has been characterized, with 15 SSR markers. Data has been collected for four production years. It includes production, disease resistance, organoleptic, and phenotypic traits. We collect many voucher images, which are placed in the Green Global database for everybody's use. And we continue to introduce and evaluate accessions to increase the genetic diversity in the collection. Now, the collection, since it's been grown under full sunlight, that means that we have to provide intensive management. And this is just a view of, for example, trees being limed. The collection is irrigated with micro sprinklers. Everything is barcoded, all the field plots, so all the data that we collect goes into the barcoding system. We use tensiometers to schedule our irrigation, which is mainly supplemental. Cacao come in many shapes and forms, and we not only grow the commercial or the regular varieties of Theobroma, of Theobroma cacao, but we also have wild relatives like Theobroma grandiflorum, Theobroma bicolor, and many others. This is just to represent, to show you some of the diversity in the collection. Pod husk size on the top. In the middle, you see various pod sizes and colors, and at the bottom, flower types, which could be different. Among accessions. We also collect or do fermentation, mainly to do organoleptic studies on the beans of various accessions, and also to determine pod index, which is an important variable in cacao production. Now, as we introduce new accessions into the collection, these accessions are not sent directly to Maya West, but rather they are sent to the quarantine greenhouse in Miami, where they are grown there for a period of 2 years. And if at the end of those 2 years they are determined to be free of diseases, then we collect budwood. That budwood is sent to Maya West for incorporation into the collection. In 2013, we established what we call the Puerto Rican Cacao Project, which sought to recover criollo types of cacao throughout the island. A little bit of history on this. Having been introduced during colonial times, naturalized cacao in Puerto Rico could serve as an unexplored source of genetic diversity in improvement programs. Hence, an island-wide survey was carried out to identify naturalized trees and to determine their genetic associations to reference cacao accessions. Leaf and pod samples from identified naturalized seedlings of cacao trees were collected throughout the island of Puerto Rico, and then samples were genotype using SNP markers. Dr. Dapeng Sang here, he was a part of this study. This map shows the places in which we collected cacao throughout the island. We used 100 reference samples for these studies. We collected 145 Theobroma samples throughout the islands. 71 of those turn out to be ancient Criollo types, 25 Trinitarios, 9 were Amelonados, there were 40 turn out to be Upper Amazon Forastero, and as expected, there were no Nacional cacao, that's a protected variety from Ecuador. In all, 32 Puerto Rican municipalities were visited during the field survey. The majority of the cacao trees identified in this study, belong to the group known as Criollo. The high levels of amazigosity found within Criollo cacao trees from Puerto Rico and their close relationship with reference accessions suggest that they could represent ancient Criollo germplasm. This Puerto Rican Criollo genetic background was probably introduced from Venezuela sometime around 1626 and represents the pure form of Criollo. So, since we have not had or exploited cacao commercially for more than a century, these Criollo trees have not hybridized extensively, and consequently these trees have remained as a distinct and differentiated group, allowing for the preservation of this unique population. These ancient Criollo trees are rare elsewhere and were underrepresented in the current collection. Therefore, they are now they have been incorporated into the collection for evaluation. A little bit of research. In 2009, we released 9 high-yielding cacao clones, and we used the baseline of 2,000 kilograms per hectare per year of dry beans as what we determined to be high yielding. We studied a yield potential of over 1,000 trees representing 5 interclonal cacao full seed families, shown there, over a period of 8 years of production at 2 locations and 4 years of production at a third location. The controlled pollinated seed from these families was introduced from the Cacao Improvement Program in Catia, Costa Rica. And the self-compatible parental clones possessed various levels of resistance against important cacao diseases, and consequently, resultant seedlings were expected to have superior combining ability for higher yield and resistance to diseases. This is just to show you where the experimental design, the experimental sites were established, each of them with various or different agro-environmental conditions. Now, in a second experiment, we grafted cyanowood from the 40 highest-yielding trees obtained from these families at the 3 locations onto an open pollinated rootstock, which was EET-400, and evaluated these clonal selections under full sunlight and intensive management at Corozal, Puerto Rico, during 4 years of production. Of the 40 clones selected for final evaluation, only 9 demonstrated superior yield when compared with either the combined mean of the 5 parental clones or the mean of their highest yielding parent. These clones yielded an average of 2,170 kilograms per hectare of dry beans per year during their 4 years of production, of full production, and there were no significant differences among them. Now, clones TARS 1, 9, 23, and 34 had lower pot index values than other clones, and a low pot index is normally associated with a good bean size and a reduction in harvesting costs. This table just shows the 9 clones, all showing yields exceeding 2,000 kilograms per hectare per year, and the one with the square simply show that those that had a lower pot index. I'll skip this slide. We also did some studies to determine yield performance and bean quality traits of cacao propagated by grafting and somatic embryo-derived cuttings. And this study was in collaboration with scientists with Mars Corporation at Penn State University. This was published relatively short time ago in Hort Science. It was a long-term study. It was planted in 2003. 2 propagation methods were tested. The first one, orthotropic rooted cuttings of somatic embryo-derived plants, which I will refer as SEORC, and those trees propagated by grafting. 12 clones were used. The experimental design was a split plot with 5 reps. The main plots were propagation treatments. methods, and subplots were varieties or clones, and 6 years of production data was used for this study. This is a general setup of the experiment. The distance between trees within a row was 8 feet. Distance between rows was 10 feet in a triangular array to maximize light interception. The soil was a typical altisol of the humid tropics, low pH, high in aluminum. Results, on average, the average yield across varieties for both propagation methods was 2,088 kilograms per hectare per year of dry beans. The dry bean yield of varieties propagated by grafting was 7% higher than those propagated by SE-ORG. However, this yield difference could not be attributed to grafted plants being more vigorous, nor by differences in root architecture. Of the 9 varieties that were released in 2009 as high-yielding varieties, 6 were used in these studies. When propagated by grafting, these varieties had an average dry bean yield of 2,111 kilograms per hectare when propagated already, confirming their high-yielding performance under both propagation methods. This is just to show you there were no difference. One row with trees propagated by grafting, the other row by SE-ORG. TAR 30 propagated by grafting, SE-ORG, canopy architecture is similar, production is similar. So in conclusion, there were significant differences between plant propagation treatment for some of the variables measured in the study. These were extremely small in degree and not of a magnitude that will preclude the implementation of somatic embryogenesis as a consequent and consequent SE-ORG as a propagation system for cacao. The use of SE-ORG-derived plants for cacao propagation could contribute to efforts to improve yield per area, germplasm conservation, and rapid distribution of high-yielding cacao. In terms of outreach, we conduct workshops in collaboration with industry. We show growers or potential cacao growers of grafting techniques, pruning, fermentation. September of last year, Hurricane Maria hit the island with winds of 155 miles per hour, two miles below a Cat 5 hurricane. The hurricane crossed the island and left us a powerful Cat 4, causing a lot of damage. This is a view of the collection. The trees were really not affected in terms of falling because as part of our management, we do topping and hedging. We do pruning every year, so that helped a lot. This is a closer view. Eventually, all the trees were defoliated. At that time, trees were in full production, so I decided to remove all the pods in the trees to reduce stress. This is Dr. Tomas Ayala, the cacao curator, and myself. We spent several days taking those pods out. Within a few days, we started to see some bud breaks. Nature is just amazing. And these are the current conditions. The trees are growing very well. Closer view, we are now distributing budwood to growers. Particularly to those growers that had lost their orchards or a large size of or a large part of their orchards. And that's my presentation. Not sure if we have.